There's this quote that says, parents replace their lack of presence with presence. The other present is P-R-E-S-E-N-T.
Yeah, gifts, as in gifts, toys, yeah.
So are you guilty of that?
100%. 100%.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode on the Mizi Wahid podcast. We've been away for quite a bit and we're happy to be back. A brand new episode and a brand new series with our familiar partner, Yayasan Mendaki, right? So we are going to continue speaking and sharing about the junior learners and what we need to help our children with and help ourselves with as young parents in order to facilitate our children's growing up years and how they ease themselves into school, into learning, into their development overall. This is definitely a series that you don't want to miss. A series of 8 brand new episodes with 2 amazing guests, inshallah. And today, I'll be introducing to you my very first guest. But before that, let me share a little bit about our partner. Our partner is Yayasan Mendaki. Yayasan Mendaki is a pioneer self-help group for the development of the Malay Muslim community in Singapore. They assist students and individuals of the Malay Muslim community with education and with lifelong learning. For more information or assistance, you may visit my.mendaki.org.sg. Right? So, today's guest is none other than a very famous ustazah in Singapore. Can you guess? Her name is Ustazah Liana Musfira from Haya Network. She's an old friend. I think we've known each other for more than a decade already. MashaAllah, how time flies. You can find her and her programs, her events, her content, her services. They're all available on her social media and her website. You can learn a lot about what she's doing for the community, MashaAllah. May Allah bless her work and, you know, may it benefit a lot of people in our community, inshallah. In fact, she's actually gone beyond our shores and making an impact in other regions as well, okay? So stay tuned and check out all of her work to learn more about her. Ustazah, would you like to say something about yourself? Welcome.
Hello everyone, Assalamualaikum Ustaz. Thank you for having me. I just recently launched a second book. I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah. Following your footsteps.
Thank you so much. Following your footsteps. It's an expanded version of my very first book. So I think we explore a little bit more about the difference between feelings and emotions. And I think it's very relatable to today's episode, inshallah.
Okay. Looking forward. Will I get a free copy?
No, you will have to support me and purchase a copy on your own.
Okay, inshallah, I will. Okay, so today we're going to talk about being present in your children's life. Saza, you have 3 kids, right? And I have 4. And both of us are pretty busy, our schedule. How do you make time for your children? How do you be present for them? What's your definition of being present?
I think that's... that is something that I still struggle to this day. I don't know what's the idea of balance because I think everyone just use the word balance pretty much at every context, balancing between life and work, balancing between children and your self-time, balancing between almost everything. But for me, I think it's a little bit challenging because I'm a single parent. So for me, time is very, very precious. So when they are with me, sometimes I completely block any form of work. And that is still something that I am struggling with. And I think other single parents are also relating to this because we have this sense of guilt. Like if we are not
home. So you
home,
are like overcompensating. You are doing more.
Somehow. So because we are co-sharing the time, we are co-parenting as well. So the time that we have is actually quite limited. So if we are not available during that time for our kids, I think the guilt comes
even more
to us. And then sometimes, you know, you question yourself, why am I even doing this, right? So for me, the idea of being present is to actually do something that the kids would remember even after that time has passed. So for me, I would love to go out, you know, bring them to an indoor playground and outdoor playground, but the more I do that with them, the more I realize that all they want is just to be at home and just to play with whatever toys that are already available.
Mm.
So I think the idea of being present can eventually change from one time to another time and is very different from one set of parents to another set of parents. Mm. Yeah.
Plus also, every child is different.
Correct.
And the way they want your attention is different.
Very different.
Could you share a little bit about the differences amongst your kids? Like is your daughter, you know, calling out for your attention by, you know, drawing something and then asking for you to... It's another one showing you how he completed his work and then wants you to just be proud of him.
Mm.
It's another one, just like my youngest daughter, all she does is she wants attention, she will cry or she will say that the brother teased her or something, and that's how she gets attention. Like, do they differ in the way they want you to be present in their lives?
Definitely. For my eldest, who's 9, he recently turned 9 last week. For him, being present is for me to actually sit with him until he completes a Lego invention.
Mm.
So for example, that would take, example, around 15 minutes. Mm. So he would want me to actually see the entire thought processing.
Even
on
the
how
process.
The whole thing. But for me, it's like, just show me the final result. But for him, no, Mama, I want you to sit down, see how I actually chose the Lego pieces and how I actually eventually come up with this piece.
Mm.
For my daughter, she's actually going through this, she's only 7, but she's going through this teenage phase.
It's called the preteen.
I have no idea what it is. I have no idea what it is. So she likes drawing. She likes writing letters. It's a different kind of phase altogether. Mm-hmm. And my youngest one is just sit down, play, and be part of the play.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's very different from one to another.
Do you spend time talking to them? And when I say talking, I mean like, let's say after school.
Mm.
Do you ask them what happened in school?
Mm-hmm.
And do they actually share with you?
They do. They do, surprisingly. Little details that I thought was not relevant.
Like, give me an example.
For example, Mama, there's this boy, he walked past me when we were going down for recess, and he accidentally stepped on my shoe and he didn't say sorry.
Mm.
It's a very little episode.
Like, one of my sons.
But then he was like, then I said, Are you hurt? Did you get hurt? Are you upset he didn't say sorry? No, he didn't hurt at all. So why did you have to relate to me this incident? But for him, it's important because
it's something that stood out that
for
day,
them,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So little details like, Mom, I got a sticker because I managed to spell a new word.
Mm.
So it's details that I never thought was important before this, but it's very humbling to know that they are willing to share all this.
It's true.
Yeah,
I think I feel surprised too when one of the kids tells us something that to us is so trivial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even worth mentioning.
Exactly.
But they want us to know.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And
yeah.
I appreciate that. After a while, I do appreciate it because I'd rather have them tell us than they keep it to themselves or they tell somebody else.
Correct.
Right?
Completely silent.
Day,
yeah.
Yeah. We are the parents and we want to be more involved.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also how we actually, an easier way to make up for what we consider to be lost time.
Mm-hmm.
When you are away from your kids. You know, for me, I travel a lot. So like, I'm away from them quite a bit. If I can sit down with them and just talk to them about anything, I'll feel very happy. And I think they are happy too.
Mm.
If you show interest in finding out what happened to them or how's school, how's exam, how was their test, they want to talk about it. They want to talk about their struggles. I even was able to figure out or get out from one of the kids, my second one. He was bullied, but it wasn't a serious thing. It was just like labeling, name calling, which happens to most kids, I guess. I think we also endured it last time. But he wanted to share it with me. And I think that was a very powerful moment because I my greatest fear is that our kids don't want to tell us because they think we're too busy.
Correct. That's, or we're not even bothered to know what actually happened.
Our absence is not an immediate failure.
Mm.
But an immediate failure, in my opinion, is if our absence is causing them to not want to share important things like that with us, right?
Agreed. Yeah.
So, every little thing that they say, can you look at me? You know, my youngest one, Alia, she's still like twirling and dancing. Look at me, I'm doing a split. Look at me, I'm doing a somersault. Like, she wants us to look at her and acknowledge her,
yeah,
and clap our hands and tell us how proud we are. And sometimes you have to also look at their faces, right? Mm. When you praise them.
They need those eye contacts. They need those eyes. If you don't face your face to them and
you're
don't make eye contacts.
You're like looking at your phone and then a side view.
That's not going to work for them. That's not enough for them.
I think
you're
after a while, they'll notice that my mom or my dad doesn't really care. Or they're just saying it for the sake of saying it. Even though kids, right, they can pick up on all of these things, even though they're still young, right? So, I read this one quote, Saza, and I want your opinion on it, okay? I think this might hit you and me a certain way, because there's this quote that says, parents replace their lack of presence with presence. The other present is P-R-E-S-E-N-T.
Yeah, gifts, as in gifts, toys, yeah.
So are you guilty of that?
100%. 100%. I would often make multiple trips to Toys R Us or Lego shops, because I think that is one of my love languages. I am actually a very big, I'm very big in giving gifts. Mm. And of course, it make the children happy. But then I realized that after 1 week, the toys would just be collecting dust. Mm-hmm. And even when I keep reminding them, play with those toys.
They get bought very quickly.
I cannot keep buying every edition in Legoland. I cannot do that. I'm very, very guilty, because I think I'm someone who's big in buying things to cover up some of the lost time. But then I think I realize that time, or just a simple dinner, cooking Maggie together and just making their favorite cup of hot Milo and just having funny conversation about who has the funniest burp. That is something so little, and something that I realize they remember it more than the actual trip to the Toys R Us and choosing their favorite toy. So what I practice at home is we would usually have one meal that I would allow them to cook on their own. So what I actually did was to buy my very own steamboat pot. And they love this simple thing,
because they can get involved. It's very
beautiful. It's messy, but it works. They cook for all of us a meal. Yeah. So at least I think at home my practice is one meal a day where I can get them involved to prepare the food that we're about to eat.
So can I say that you have evolved in terms of your approach? Like, it's not all about buying something for them, right? It's about the experience.
Yes, I think I do buy things, but this time I think it's more only if they deserve it, like a reward system kind of thing. But before this, okay, you're angry, okay, let's go buy. You're upset, I came home late, okay, let's go buy something to make up for it. But now it's like a reward system where they really work hard to earn it. So I still do buy things, it's just that it's entirely different.
I think it's very different, you know. I don't know about your parents, but my parents, I rarely got anything when I was a child. Yeah, I rarely got anything. But the few things that they bought me, I remember.
So when you
don't get a lot, you probably cherish them more. I think if I ask any of my kids now, remember what I bought for you on your 7th birthday? I don't think they
too
remember.
Too much. The list goes on and on.
Too many things. And I always had this bad habit every time I traveled, and I will always buy something for them.
Same, Ustad. Because different countries have entirely different things for children.
And if I forgot, then at Singapore airport, before I exit,
I have to get something.
So again, that's another bad habit that I've stopped doing. And I think the kids now know. You know, they're happy just to see me back. They're happy to pick me up at the airport. They're happy if I bring them snacks.
Yeah.
They're happy with littler, simpler things, you know. So, or just photos. I sit down with them now. And these are the photos. Like, I went to Bali recently. Look, check out these things that I saw. You know, funny things. Like, somebody was riding a bike with four dogs on his bike.
Whoa.
You know, like, yeah, those kind of things. Whoa. Like, they find it more fascinating and you get quality conversations, right? So, you want better presence with your kids, not buy better presents.
Presents.
Per se. And so, if I were to ask you, Saza, let's say 10 years from now, when your kids are much older, right? You're in your teens 10 years from now, right? How would you want them to be remembered? How would you want them to remember their childhood when they had those times with you? Like, how would you want them to cherish those moments?
I wanted to be remembered as a friend, especially when they have moments where they are upset or they cry or they have moments of, I don't know, they are upset about something. So I want to be the first one that they can run to, the first one that they can say, I feel safe. So I think the word safety, the word home, the word attending is something that I really want them to remember. Because I think it's one thing to be present, but it's another thing to actually being present and attentive at the same time. So I want to be someone that actually can prove to the children that I was there to attend to every single emotion that I was that they were feeling. Yeah, so if they are crying, because recently my for example, my daughter is upset she didn't get to be prefect. Right, and then she came home and then she was like, I want to be a prefect. How do I be a prefect? I'm upset. And then at home, she would practice her leadership skill. So I wanted to be remembered how I was there for her, rooting for her, helping her, pretending to be her friend so that she can be my leader. So yeah, to be that emotionally present.
To be her classmate, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I want to be that emotionally present parent in their eyes.
Yeah, I love that. What I've picked up, you know, certain skills is to notice when the kids are upset about something.
Correct.
Because I think there comes a time when they don't want to share. Automatically, you need to provoke. You need to ask. You need to get it out. And when you notice their facial expressions, it's a bit different. Like they look very down, straight face, not smiling, not their usual self. Hey, what's wrong? And so there's this one time, I shared this story in another podcast before, when I picked up Hannah, the first one, from K2. That, one she was, that time she was in K2. And I picked her up, she wasn't her usual self. She was frowning, she looked sad, almost at the brink of crying, right?
And she was only at K2.
Six, yeah, so I picked her up and I immediately noticed it.
Okay.
So it was very important, I noticed immediately. I kneeled down and looked at Hannah, what's wrong? She was like shaking her head, she didn't want to say anything. Tell me what's wrong. Something's wrong, right? What's wrong? And then she started crying.
Oh, no. Right?
And then, okay, tell me what's wrong. Then she told me that, oh, just now as she was walking, one of her classmates put out his leg to trip her.
And then she fell down. Oh, no.
And then the teacher didn't notice. So she just went out, took her bag, and she was like controlling herself, trying not to cry. So I immediately went back to the school. Say, teacher, you know, Hannah wants to say something. So she said it. And then teacher asked who did it. And then teacher went on to address without me, of course. I don't want to get involved in that. So teacher, okay, we'll talk to that boy. And then when teacher closed the door and I walked with her, she looked
better?
Much happier. Yeah. She said, Anna, are you happy that we dealt with that? Yes. So sometimes our kids want, our presence is really about what do we do about their present situation. Are we just going to listen and do nothing, or are you going to follow up on something? Like those small little things matter.
Yeah, some of us just brush them off because we don't know what to do.
Or we say, it's okay, everything's going to be all right. I don't think that will always work. On some occasions, yeah. But on other occasions, they really want to see what you do as a parent, right? Anything in particular that you want to share about your childhood?
My childhood.
With regards to your, were your parents present? Were they busy? Like, who was looking after you? And you know?
My parents taught me one love language, which was gifts. So for every little small win, I would get rewarded with gifts.
No wonder you were a top student, wasn't it?
And
motivated.
That's not true. But I mean, for example, if it's not in terms of toys, it would be in terms of holidays or trips, for example. So that is the love language that I learned when I was a child. And now that I'm a parent, that is a familiar love language that I would exude for my children. But then I realized how I was as a child is very different than how my children are as children. So I appreciated every single gift that was given. I anticipated every time my parents come back, do you have something for me? It became like a form of demanding cycle where I know they're going to have something. So I actually waited and I got very upset when they don't have anything for me. So that's something that is etched in me. So when my children are in a stressful position, the only way for me to pacify that is, okay, let's get them gift. But then I realized that that's not working anymore because children these days are, I don't know, some really appreciate things, but my children, I think they are done with toys. So what worked for me as a child, definitely, definitely couldn't work.
I noticed it too, you know, nowadays when we walk to Toys R Us,
no reaction.
Yeah, they don't really, like, they're not begging for anything anymore. They're not hinting that they want something anymore, none. Last time they were like, oh, please, I want this, you know, or they would throw a tantrum, or they would cry if you walk out without getting anything. Now it's very different. They don't mind. We just go in and just have a walkabout.
And that's it. And
unless it's someone's birthday, then we might want to get something. And it, nowadays, the gift buying is for their sibling, not for themselves. So, for example, if it's for a sibling's birthday, we would purchase something for them. So the three of them will buy for one sibling.
They would choose for their sibling instead of for themselves. Yep.
So it's a different experience now. Okay, Saza, good conversation so far. I want to share with you a quote regarding conscious parenting that I found. It says that, "I'm a conscious parent when I believe that my child is here to teach me as much about myself and how I need to grow as I am here to teach them." This quote is from this person named Shefali Sabari. Okay, I recently posted this question actually on my Twitter and Instagram. I asked, "Dear parents, what have your children taught you?" Because I think as parents, our mindset is always we are the ones teaching them, educating them. But actually, without us realizing, our kids are always teaching us something, right? I want to ask you, Saza, like, is there something when you sit back and reflect, you know, when you're on your own maybe, do you notice that your kids have taught you certain life lessons that are very valuable? If yes, what are examples?
I definitely, and each of them are their very own different, unique teachers. So I learned entirely different things from all three of them. But one in particular was my youngest child. He's 5 turning 6, very, very young. And I always underestimate these little ones, like, you're just so small, you know, I don't even know what you're talking about sometimes. But then he was talking about love, and he was telling me, we were talking about what is the difference between loving someone and liking someone. Just a simple conversation that I thought I would relate more with the elder two. Adam is 9, my eldest. Afra is 7, my second. And Afif is 5 turning 6. So I thought the conversation would stir better with the elder two. But impressively, my youngest one was saying that I can like anybody and I can love anybody. I'm allowed to, and he actually used those jargon words, I'm allowed to like and love anybody, but you are my number one love because I come from you. And these profound words didn't come out from the first two. It came out from someone who's not even 6. So I think this randomness is something that I truly appreciate.
Surprise you, huh?
It did, yeah. So that was nice, yeah.
I think I can relate to a certain extent. The youngest one actually is the most expressive. For me, yes. Alia, she talks the most.
How old is Alia?
5, 6.
I see, same. Okay.
Yeah, and she, suddenly out of the blue, she'll say something that everybody's like, "What? Did she just say that?" And she'll do her face, like very proud face, you know, like, "Yes, I did. I just said that," you know. And without cue, without anybody giving her any idea, she'll just suddenly say it. But I think one thing, right, Saza, that I learned from my kids is actually forgiveness. They can have fun, laugh, you know, play for hours. And then suddenly, they get into a fight, as they normally do. And they would cry. They would probably, you know, might even hit each other once. And then sulk and merajuk for a while.
Correct.
And then they come to us and then they explain what happened. They always have their versions of the story. Right? And then after that, 5 minutes later, we go out to look at them. They're playing as per normal again. They forgive very quickly. And I think that's what I love about kids. They can overlook small mistakes. They can forgive and they can pardon very, very quickly. And they can become friends again. We as adults, however, we hold on to a grudge sometimes. I mean, something I struggle with too. I wish I could
just let go.
Yeah. But you know, it's a struggle. I think as adults, we learn differently. Probably there was a time in our life when we were taught directly or indirectly, usually indirectly, that when somebody hurts you, you're supposed to hold a grudge. You know, so I feel like, wow, the kids really have a lot to teach us. Mm. If only we open our eyes, if only we sat down to think and reflect about what they are teaching us, we'll probably learn
so much more.
Yeah, yeah.
So much more. Last Ramadan, I brought my daughter to distribute some food for rental flats family. Mm-hmm. And it was after Ramadan, and then we went to Shawwal, and then the months after that. And she kept asking who's bringing food for the families, and if the families actually have food, and if we are not the one distributing the food, how are the families going to eat? I think exposing the children to this kind of opportunities as well is something that, you know, they actually remember and they actually want to continue and follow up. So it was nice, but I couldn't find any other ways to distribute food the way I did during the Ramadan period. But I thought, you know, some of this episode that we thought is just a once-off is actually something that the children remember and actually want more of it.
Mm.
Yeah, so that is another lesson that I learned, that she actually wants to continue giving food to families that she just met once.
She has a big heart.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, generous. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, so yeah, Ustazah, I mean, clearly from what we have talked about so far, parenting is indeed a relationship that is two-way.
Mm-hmm.
Many parents today probably still think of it as it's me teaching the child, it's me educating the child, me giving instructions. But in truth, in reality, children have their own way, their own unique way to also provide life lessons to the parents. So conscious parenting is about letting go of our ego as parents sometimes and our attachments to certain ways of doing things. We can always adapt and change according to every child's unique needs, right? Because every child is different. They have their own strengths, they have their own unique needs, and we need to pay more attention. And the only way to do that is by taking the approach of conscious parenting, by becoming a more present, a more hands-on parent, right? So these are some of the things that we need to take note of. And instead of forcing certain behaviors on our kids, we should try to focus on the kind of words that you use, their language, and help them there, you know, to be more positive in what they affirm of themselves and to correct certain misunderstandings or expectations that they have about other people, about work, about school, about parents, and so on. Parenting is not just about making a child happy. I believe that children can grow and develop through their difficult moments. If we don't teach our children by being there with them, by their side, supporting them through their struggles, they'll never truly grow. They might physically grow, but emotionally and mentally, they're still a child. And I think that's the last thing any parent wants, right? So we should not be a hindrance that prevents our children from growing any further. And lastly, I believe in acceptance. When we notice that our child is different from other people's children, when they want more attention from us, and you don't understand, like, why is child number two more demanding of attention than child number one? Please don't compare, because again, they're all different, and you need to just accept that you need to be more present and more engaging, okay, in whatever situations that come your way or that the child presents to you, all right? So, Ustazah, maybe before we end this episode, could you share a couple of simple activities that you are already doing with your kids to make sure that this connection that you have, the presence that you show with them, can be continued? You shared an example of the
steamboat cooking,
yeah? Anything else that you do together?
Market. I actually bring the kids to go to the market. Mm. I want them to see how expensive one thing costs, so they cannot just, use that soap.
Are they more conscious of prices now?
They are. Mm. They are. And they actually know which aisle, and they actually know, like, when you cook a pot of noodle, it's not just the noodle that you need to put vegetables, onions, salt.
Mm.
So now the children are actually very interested in spices. Mm. So they were like, can I have white pepper, black pepper? So little market trips is something that I just recently discovered they truly enjoy. Mm. Another one is I started this idea based on your recommendation, which was to watch a movie together with the kids. Before this...
Oh yeah, we have movie night.
I didn't think of it that way because my movie selection is very different from my kids' movie selection. So recently I'm... starting this movie night where we would watch family-friendly movies, and I would get their their reaction on it. And then I would realize that my daughter is actually someone that's penakut. Mm. So the moment there's attention that's coming up, she would close her eyes and will close her ears. Mm. And my youngest, if he's not comfortable with some epicness of the movie, he would run. So we the more new activities we do, the more things we eventually discover about each child.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Ultimately, my dear listeners, there is no magic formula for time spent together with your family, with your kids. But the key is to always communicate to our children and let them know that they are important and they are worthy of your time and attention. Just understand that our presence in our child's life is essential to their overall well-being. Okay? So for those parents out there who are interested to know more about parenting programs, I want to share with you that Yayasan Mendaki also has plenty of parenting programs that are beneficial for you to join. Kelas Matematika, or KMM, is a parent and child program targeted at parents with preschool children aged 4 to 6 years old. The workshops and activities conducted throughout the lessons aim to empower parents with mediated learning experience, MLE. These skills are equipped so that they are more confident to teach their children in learning the basic numeracy concepts. Parents are guided by qualified facilitators on applying the appropriate MLE techniques in their child's learning. KMM aims to strengthen children's basic numeracy skills to prepare them for entry into primary school and nurture confidence, creativity, and social skills through craft and interactive activities. If you want to know more, you can visit Mendaki's website, mendaki.org.sg/programs/parenting programs. You will find a lot more information there. Okay, so thank you so much, Sada, for being here in our very first episode. I really enjoyed listening to your examples and your stories. Do you have any final words for our listeners?
I think for parents, we are already doing a lot of great things. So sometimes we got to give ourselves a pat on the back or in the back? On the back. Mm-hmm. But I think what I'm realizing right now is there is a huge difference between being physically present for the children and being physically present with the children. Mm. So, for example, we can be there, our body can be there for them because we know they need to see us. Mm-hmm. But most of us are not even there with the kids physically.
Mentally, emotionally,
yeah. So I think just a quote or something to reflect on. Being physically present for the kids is very different than being physically present with the kids.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
that.
So much, Ustaz.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed that episode. There'll be more coming with Ustaza and also Fizao in the subsequent series with Mendaki as our partner. So please tune in and share your favorite parts of the episode. Thank you once again. Take care. Till the next time. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bye bye.